Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Right back to it here, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Beautiful day out there. Talking about the Bills draft, and joining us on the Western Hotline is Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean, who had a busy weekend, a lot of hours logged. Brandon, we had two draft parties, so we're kind of tired too. You know, we were up late with you on the first round and the second round. It's a busy weekend for you.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. I was just listen to the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very – how so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just – hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers. But I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But – bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
Okay. I mean, if you, I wish you'd listened to the 2 hours and 25 minutes before that, because there's plenty of things we do like about your draft, and I find it curious the energy you're coming at us with, but I mean, that's your choice.
I get it. I'm just like, let's be realistic. Our job is not to have – it's not fantasy football, like, to trot out the best receivers. You got Josh Allen. First thing you got to do is protect him. You can't have everything. You can't have Pro Bowl wide receivers and have a Pro Bowl offensive line and an all-pro quarterback and three great running backs. Like, you gotta pick. Sure, I'd love to play fantasy football, but there's one football, Jeremy. There's one ball. You can't give it to but so many people. So that's where I'm like, I don't understand this narrative. I felt it a little bit from a couple of the reporters in the thing. Like, our job is to score points. It doesn't matter what receivers, what quarterback, what. If you score points at the level we scored, that is winning football.
No doubt about it. Something that we've said quite a bit, 30 points per game, a good offense last year, an incredible offensive line, a good run game. You did lose two receivers and add one. I mean, many out there thought you might add another one. I was going to save the receiver conversation till after we talked defense, but if you want to go there first – I mean, it's fine. I think you've got some nice pieces there. Keon Coleman hopefully can take a step forward. And Curtis Samuel, we saw his season get kind of cut short or whatever, off to a bad start due to injuries. So you definitely have some pieces there. When it comes to that position, one of the things that the draft does, Brandon, I think you see all these teams add all these things. And I know, like, the board falls how the board falls. The reason I finished up with Sale the way that I did was I see lots of teams that are kind of flush at that position, still adding a few more pieces. And one place that I don't think you would even dispute is it's a place to save money. I mean, from a market efficiency, the wide receiver position gets expensive, and adding in the draft is a place to get some cheap options. So that's part of the reason that I kind of focused on it a little bit, is just because it seems like it's smart business to maybe add some there.
Well, it could be, for sure. It's you want to do that anywhere, just like corner is as well, which we did that, or defensive line, defensive tackle in particular. So, yeah, you can only get after you know, as you get to a certain point on the board, you're going, all right, how does this guy help? But, yeah, in the listen, if there was a guy when we picked at the first round that we're like, yes, this guy's dynamic, he's going to fit here, we would have turned it in. In the second round, we would have done it. We went up and got TJ. Like, we weren't dodging receiver. We were going in, hey, we had the guys stacked where it was. I didn't think it was the deepest class.
Sure.
I'll say that. But, yeah, if it would have worked out, I would have gladly done it. But I'm trying to make sure we got the best team, not the best receiving core.
That's great. That if that's the case, it seems a little odd to be upset at people that think that adding receiver made sense. You just kind of make the point there that if it had lined up on the board, you would have done it.
Yeah, best players. Like, that's what would – but, Jeremy, you can't go into a draft unless you got a major hole there. And I'm looking, again, at our receiving core. And you guys forget, you're not counting, like, Dalton Kincaid.
We are.
A receiving tight end. Like, you gotta include that in there. Just the way the Kansas City Chiefs count Travis Kelce or some of these other teams count their guys. Detroit counts Sam Laporta, like – George Kittle, and like you name them, those types of tight ends that are receiving threats, those guys count in your mix too. You can throw them the ball.
That's right. We do count them.
Yeah.
We talk about them a lot. Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the hole there, Brandon, and that's why like I wasn't thinking about this for first round, but I was wondering from your standpoint in the organization, how big a hole you feel Mac Hollins left. And what you believe in your internal group now you could do to replace that. Because that was a player that played a lot of snaps and a lot of blocking and special teams and the veteran presence. So that was, to me, the part of receiver for me was always figuring out how big a hole is that and how big do you feel like it could already be filled by the guys you already have.
Yeah, I mean, I would say last year at this time you guys weren't bragging about Mac Hollins like as, man, look what the Bills got. I would say you guys were – probably, and I wasn't listening to your show, but probably like counting him, like most people, as a special teams player that will play receiver, not a receiver that plays special teams. And I think Mac and our system, the way we do things, I got the questions last year. Hey, you moved on from Stephon Diggs. What are you doing? I totally understood that. And I just said, well, we'll have to see. Like, we have to show it. I guess where I don't understand is we just showed it. With the way we want to run our offense and the way we want to do things, that formula can work as well. There's not just one way to skin a cat here. And Josh Palmer, I think you guys are forgetting, Josh Palmer is a good player, and he's going to help us a lot. And he's a young player, and I believe he has helped us upgrade our receiving core this year. I don't know, again, I haven't been listening to your show earlier, to your point, or other days, but let's don't forget adding Josh Palmer. We spent some money there. We obviously paid Khalil Shakir. Curtis Samuel, hopefully, to Jeremy's point, hopefully he doesn't start out nicked up the way he did. I thought he finished strong for us. Hopefully that's the guy we get. But if he's your fourth receiver, like that's pretty good. So I'm not sure at some point in the draft where you're adding that you're going, man, he's better than that.
Josh Palmer, another signing we did like. I mean, I feel like the solution is just listen a little bit more. We're not the haters you might think we are. But Brandon, let's get to some of your defensive picks and the way the board did fall. We know Max Hairston was the first pick you made in the first round, and then defensive tackle and defensive end. So it sure looks like the mission going in. Again, you do a lot of the board falls and you do what you can, but you wanted a revamped front seven.
Yeah, we thought. Jeremy, when we stacked the board, and again, I'll say stacking the board, in February you really start honing in on where you feel the depths are. And you still got to get through the next couple months of getting to know these guys, their fit on and off the field, their intelligence, and then the medical. I mean, every year there's guys that we get a couple weeks out and we finally meet with the docs and they start pulling some guys off the board that medically don't fit. But, the board stayed deep, and I think that's the only reason a Deion Walker is still hanging around in the fourth round is because a lot of teams, were hitting D-line, and then they started pivoting elsewhere, and we're just like, man, this guy's still sticking out on our board. We got to go get him. And, so it's just – it really is how the board fell to do that, but we thought we would be able to at least add, two or three, and we got four.
That position, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, both you talked about in your press conferences being able to kind of play both spots. at defensive tackle. Do you see that position more and more as guys aren't really, you know, one or the other, that maybe you would even say this about your whole roster or almost the entire thing, that all those guys can do both?
You'd like them to. You love the versatility piece. I mean, sometimes you do have a guy like you're not going to play this guy when you can help it on third down. But, you know, we joke internally here, the offense is allowed to pass on first. So it's actually one of the most strategic things to do is pass on first down if you've got the arsenal to do that. And so we want guys that are not just what we call a two-down slug in the middle. And that's what I think these guys give you. They got the versatility to stop the run, but also to, you know, to get after the pass. And that's where I think it's almost like Deion is more like a 1-3, but he's got more rush than most ones. And TJ is probably more 3-1. He's more rush than anchor.
Bills GM Brandon Bean joining us here on the Wester Hotline. One thing that looks like another theme throughout is you drafted a good number of players that you guys had in for visits. So maybe that speaks to the importance of you forming relationships with these players and identifying fits from a personality or a football standpoint, not just fits schematically, but the kind of people you want to bring in?
Yeah, definitely. Jeremy, I would say, you know, that's just another layer that helps you get to know them because, you know, you mostly know them just watching them on film. Some of these guys we do get to meet with at the Senior Bowl. I was unable to make the Senior Bowl this year. I watched the film, but I felt like I was a little bit behind. And then you meet these guys in Indy, but it's truly like speed dating there. It's 15 minutes a person. You get 45 options there. So when you get them here on these 30s, you can spend as much time with them as you want. And, you know, I think at that point you really feel like you know them as well as you're going to know anybody. And so when it works out to the board, sometimes you lean to that way if it's close. Some years it works out more than others. This year, I think, to your point, it definitely worked out.
What about what you ended up adding at corner, Brandon? Thinking about, for me, when I was seeing those picks, I was thinking about the end of last year and maybe options that you would have liked to have at that position or Sean would have liked to have at that position. And now seeing the list of young guys and players that have been here before, was there any, you know, not hold back about drafting more of them on day three, but just giving yourself as many options at corner than maybe you would have had last year?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably, being candid, that was probably the going into the draft, the spot felt like, man, we need to hit somebody here in the first 2 days. Like, we need to find someone. And you don't want to go in with needs and still want to let the board fall. And I do think if Harrison was not there, I was kind of tracking it. I do think we would have had an option on day two to get one. You always kind of look, all right, what would you have gone there if you could have? But, you know, once we got to day three, Dorian Strong was the best player on our board. It wasn't like we were like, hey, we got to get another one. And we just feel like he's a guy that, again, adds versatility. Outside player first. We think he does have a nickel skill set. Also a guy that, you know, the way he plays his game should translate to, you know, fourth down and special teams.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. On day three, has special teams become a bigger conversation, especially with the way that the league is changing?
Yeah, it definitely does. This kickoff rule, Jeremy, you gotta have enough cover guys. And, you know, that gets into the receiver too. Like, what's the guy? Some of these guys were like, hey, we can add him, but we're healthy, we're not going to be able to get him a jersey because we got to have, again, we had Mac last year who played some special teams roles. But so we got to make sure, you know, whether it's a Jordan Hancock, a Dorian Strong, these guys, that they do have some fourth down value, or they're going to find themselves inactive on game day.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. Before I let you go, Brandon, I just want to ask you the question I said I was going to ask you with Sal. I mean, I'm sorry if it bothers you, but I just want to know, like, would anyone thinking that you value receiver less than some other teams in the league, would that be incorrect? You do not think that is the case?
Yeah, that's not correct.
Okay.
What I value is good football players and good football teams and how they're built. And you just can't – the game is not fantasy football. I know the world is, everyone knows receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs. I want to be strong up front. I want to have a quarterback, and then I want to score points. I want to keep the other team from scoring points, and I want to score a bunch of points. If we can protect the ball the way we did last year, we had 8 turnovers, a plus 24 margin. We've led the league the last 2 seasons in fewest sacks, which helps Josh Allen. If we can do that and score another season with, you know, lead the league in points, I'll be thrilled at the end of the year.
We will be thrilled as well. I would say I don't think it's fantasy football. I'm just looking at the way that the league pays positions, running backs, tight ends, guards, tackles, receivers, linebackers. Like there appears to be a hierarchy of positional needs. You know, quarterback is at the top. So when I ask that question, I'm not asking from a fantasy football standpoint. I'm looking at franchise tags. I'm looking at draft capital. I'm looking at all that with regard to positional values. And forget receiver. I mean, would you have a positional hierarchy at least? Of course.
Yeah, but there's, again, there's one football, Jeremy, and that's where I would say you have to be careful, too. You can only feed so many guys. You can get frustration. It's a position where you see it across the league. And there are teams with, you know, people would argue are definitely better than our receiving core, but they don't score as many points, and they don't have the same success. Some of them don't protect well.
Yep.
Some of them don't run the ball well. We want to be multidimensional and how we do things. We want to protect. We want to run the ball. We want to be able to play in December and January. And that's the point I was making about fantasy football. And again, I'm all about if we could have got a guy in the first round or second round or wherever that fit, we would have added him in a minute, but not at the point of reaching to a lower value when I got a higher valued player, especially a D lineman sitting up there.
Very good. Thanks for the time, Brandon.
I appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right. Bills GM Brandon Bean here on the Wester Hotline with us. 803-0550, if you'd like to offer a thought on what just happened.
Uh-huh.
Hey. I think the kids would say...
I will admit I did want Josh Rosen in 2018. I'm not going to lie.
I wanted Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. And
big woof.
I don't think it's an indictment on anybody to have not been sold on Josh Allen. And Josh Allen has proved a lot of people wrong. I was nervous about Josh Allen. I was still very happy they took a quarterback. And I'm not for that. I don't claim to know which quarterback's going to be the best. I actually don't do that. But as the kids would say, I think he chose violence today. So, hey, have a great day, man. Go for it. 803-0550. We're not playing fantasy football. We're smarter than that, and we're not here to be belittled either. So, cheers. We'll be back in a moment. I think in my career, that might be one of my strongest arguments I've ever made.
That one?
Yeah. I stumbled on it. It kind of came to me in the moment. It is before you have to show your ticket.
Yes.
Unassailable. True. Fact.
Which means you could just go in and get it.
Yeah.
Which I still have not done since you brought that up, by the way.
You should consider.
Because I can't think... Well, it would be a movie night.
Yep.
At home.
Yep.
But the point of that is you don't go out.
Get
and you're making me go out to get the popcorn.
Get on the way home. Hey, we're going to have a movie night. Stop at the movie theater and pick it up on your
right,
way home.
Right. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe. It's a Tuesday. It's going to get windy today. A lot of hot air from you guys. It's going to get windy today. Really windy today. So be prepared. Highs in the 70s while also being damagingly windy. So like a hot wind.
If you pull up the, if you have the same weather app that I do and maybe the other ones do too, and you pull up today's weather, you're going through and there's like, okay, you get the description of like, all right, wind and okay, hail. And then at the end it says isolated tornado.
Okay.
Possible.
All
great.
Right.
I'm glad it's an isolated tornado.
Right.
Not a series of them.
Well, the wind gusts are expected to hit the 40s. And a friend asked me to go golfing. I said, I don't think you're
today?
Gonna... Yeah. Yesterday he said you want to go play. I said, like I don't think you're gonna make it out there. It's gonna be rough.
It's good practice to know how to play the wind when you have to face it in an important setting.
I guess so. So good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Lot happened yesterday, huh? How about it? If anybody wants to just like call in and give us a thought on it, we'll welcome that conversation. What do I want to say? I learned that Elijah Moore has a certain kind of unrestricted free agent tag that I did not know existed.
Me too. He has until training camp to negotiate a deal with another team.
It basically locks in his salary would be about 3.4. So right. I learned that Brandon Bean with One Bills Live confirmed that the Bills had Elijah Moore in for a visit, and then it went well, and they'll go from there.
They also would know what the money would be.
Yeah,
I'm assuming they would know this deal. It's an unrestricted free agent tender,
which is weird.
Is what it's called. So
it makes him part of the compensatory pick formula if he signs somewhere else.
Yeah, it's if he is unable to sign with another team prior to the first day of training camp, the Browns would retain exclusive negotiating rights at 110% of his salary, which is $3.4 million. So actually, does that make it sound like then that Cleveland would be on the hook for $3.4 million and another team wouldn't be? It's a confusing. I didn't know this thing existed.
Me either. Last time it was used was 2022.
All right, well, that would explain why I haven't seen it.
Right. The Chiefs used it on two players in 2022, and that's that. So I think it kind of lays out what it would cost Elijah Moore. So that's something we learned yesterday.
And quickly on that, he is a little – I saw a lot of comparison. It's just another second-round receiver that the Bills brought in, a former second-round receiver. And he is, and he's not going to go to the top of the depth chart. But I looked at the previous season of all those second-round guys the Bills have brought in over the years and what they had done immediately before getting to Buffalo, and Moore is the only one that even had like any sort of season. He had 61 catches last year. Hamler, before he arrived, had 7. Claypool had 8. Isabella had 2. Chenault had 0. Those are the other second-round, former second-round receivers, and he had 61.
Okay. So he could be in the mix, something that we learned after we spoke to Brandon Bean yesterday when we talked to him. Give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Of course, if you missed it yesterday, maybe you saw it on, ESPN, TSN, Yahoo, the moon. Was it broadcast on the moon?
I might have made it to
Antarctica.
I texted you guys. I learned who in my life are the local news watchers because it was on the local news. Maybe all of them. I don't even know.
Like 11 o'clock last night or 6 p.m.
No, the 6 p.m. news. Because within a 5-minute window, it was like 12 people like, oh, wow, that happened today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had every group chat going, family chats going, a lot of texts, a lot of people texting, a lot of people writing, a lot of people saying a lot of things. So it was spicy. It was interesting.
Yeah. It still confuses me. It still confuses me. The tone that was brought at the beginning of that segment. And that I just... Look, yesterday, a lot of my mental exercise was it had to be rooted somewhere else. And just, like, I'm thinking about, like, oh, could it be that it's just the Chiefs losses over and over are getting to him? Or that somebody else in his room is wanting wide receiver, or that it really was the media from the other day, the reporters that he brought up, or is it Diggs? He cited Diggs pretty early on. Could it be wanting credit for, I made this big move and it worked, where is all my credit for it? Just like a million different possible scenarios like that, just going through my head, like what on earth caused that? Because I listen back to you, to us with Sal, the 3 minutes before, and I just refuse to believe that pretty tame 3 minutes is what caused this all.
It was a very tame 3 minutes. As you were mentioning, like what got him or what has him on edge or whatever, angry or defensive, defiant or bullish. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like he's a victim here or we're victims here. I fully welcome the GM coming on whenever he wants and getting after it. You know, it kind of reminded me of back in the day, and I make this point a lot, and this is not about the Bills specifically, but we live in an NFL era where they control the message, the NFL, so much that any sort of, oh, did you see this? That's why this went everywhere. Because the NFL rarely has fights anymore. There used to be fights in this town all the time. Tom Donahoe started off a movement because he called the fans jerks.
Yes.
That used to happen all the time.
Didn't he have a couple of them?
Probably.
I think Donahoe might have had a couple of them, if I remember right.
He's the GM, he's the coach. Help me remember. This is before
2004.
Right.
Early 2000s. Early drought. Yeah.
Right. He's the GM at the time. Right. He's not the coach. I'm getting to another one. There's the get out of town rant. If you don't like it, you can get out of town, which is a famous rant in Bill's history.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you can get out of town. So, you know, on and on, we've had these dust-ups.
These spats.
Sure, yeah. Between coach and coach or media and coach or whatever it might be. it used to be fairly common. And now, to me, that's a big part of this, is that everything is so controlled by the league. I want to get to, like, the Tyler Dunn story. Like, a lot of Tyler Dunn's story was greeted with, oh, what a hit piece. And it was a balanced piece with lots of complimentary stuff and also some criticisms from sources around the league. And it was viewed as it was unbelievable that that could air in 2025 or 2024, whatever.
Yep.
Incredible. That kind of stuff used to be kind of normal. But the NFL has done such a good job of pulling everything in and nothing gets out. That's draft boards. That's everything. And the draft is a great example of all of that ecosystem coming to light. These teams control their message. They might want to draft seven different players. They get who they get. They come out and they say, we got the best guy on our board, right? Howie Roseman said that the Eagles drafted a top 10 player on their board, 31st. He's a top 10 player. Like, okay, I guess we have to believe that. That might be true. The Bills got a first round graded player. And it's not to say that they're lying or it's untrue. It's just whatever the teams say tends to kind of just get picked up, and that's the official phrasing. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Ken Dorsey got fired, and you never heard about what exactly went wrong or how it went wrong. He goes somewhere else. He keeps quiet. He goes to another organization. And the machine kind of keeps on moving. So 13 seconds. We still don't actually have an explanation of what happened in those moments. Tyler had reporting on that about miscommunication on special teams. And
yeah,
that's all I'm saying is a lot of times stuff is going on behind the scenes. And you may hear, let me get one more if I may. The rumors all around town about the Bengals playoff game. The biggest rumors everybody's ever heard. That's never been reported anywhere. Nobody really knows it for sure because the NFL is so very good. And all the NFL teams and markets are really tight. So,
yeah,
that's all. Yesterday was a reasonably good few minutes of radio and a GM defending his plan, which is totally fair to do. And, you know, with a little bit of a couple of shots at us and his own fans. I mean, he made a point to try and make people look silly, which I think was a mistake that he might regret. But past that, you know, it was just business. It was just business.
Yep.
Arguing about prospects, arguing about should you fire the coach.
Right.
That's happened.
Right.
I mean, we had dust-ups on this station with Phil Housley about his player decisions. And
yeah,
that stuff used to happen.
I remember Shope and Bulldog getting into it with Rex about whether they got run over by the Patriots.
Right, right.
That was a fun one.
Right.
They lost like by 40, but they weren't run on.
Tom Donahoe and Shope and the Bulldog, the day that Lossman broke his leg at training camp, was
I don't know that one.
Spicy. Like, show us the tape.
Yeah.
It was like, show us the tape.
Okay.
Because the Bills were telling the story of what happened. Like, oh, is that really what happened?
Uh-huh.
Can we see what happened? Because people that were watching live said that Troy Vincent hit him on purpose. Like, going back all the way to, was that 2004?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think the whole thing is interesting. Is it overblown? Maybe, maybe not. Though the takeaway is that the Bills' strategy, whether it's in year two or whatever, I guess I don't know where it starts and stops and where it ends. I listened back to the entire show before Bean came on as well.
Mm-hmm.
Among the things said by me specifically, I don't want to make today about receiver. I really like what they did in the draft. Direct quote.
Direct quote.
Said yesterday, in the early portions of the show, people called us about wide receiver. Our first caller was about receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple calls about that. We got calls about the defensive lineman. We talked about that. So, you know, it is also our job to talk about the things that are most important to the fans. And the story of the draft, there's two stories. One, they revamped their defense. And two, they waited longer than everybody thought they would. The GM himself said, I'm surprised I didn't get one until the seventh round.
Right.
So
that, like, there isn't, I don't, the whole thing that's been made of from yesterday, the reaction to it and it actually happening is still, like, again, it is, it's bewildering to me because I don't actually feel like there is, you know, maybe like long term philosophically, there would be a different way of thinking right now between us and especially you on wide receiver and where Brandon Bean might be right now.
Right.
But in terms of what the story of the day was and the draft, I don't really feel like there was that much of a gap.
Right.
Right? Like, it was, well, we don't think they're doing it in round one, and we spent a little bit of time on Luther Burden, but we didn't do whole shows on, oh, this is why they should draft trade up for Tet McMillan in the first round and go all out for it. It's not like we spent weeks on DK Metcalf. We talked about it.
We did.
For sure.
We did.
But it wasn't this three-month-long campaign. We talked more about Myles Garrett.
We talked about Myles Garrett.
Way more about Myles Garrett.
We talked about Trey Hendrickson. I think the
Max Crosby, and Max Crosby was never even near as available as those two probably were.
Wasn't the player I stumped for in the draft the most Malachi Starks?
I was going to say, Friday was just about safety.
Friday, I was sitting here saying they should take a safety.
We didn't even get to safety.
Right. They should take a safety. I mean, so anyway, like we'll get some calls on this if you want to chime in. And, we'll, you know, talk about the Bills, not just about this conversation, because now we're reacting to the reaction. But whatever, we're here to hang out with you guys. Yeah. The other thing about it is, like, thinking back to what where we are on this, they had seven receivers in for visits, just like they had a bunch of corners, defensive tackles, and defensive ends. It was just lined up as one of the positions we thought they might take. Why did we interview someone from Missouri on Luther Burden? Because right before the draft, all the mocks turned a little bit to Luther Burden might be there. Mm-hmm. Same reason we started talking about Malachi Starks. It's, you know, it's draft season. So that's what we did. And
but that wide receiver big board behind you is empty.
Right.
Like, there's nothing on it.
People got mad about
it. We didn't bring it to the draft party. Our two draft parties.
A number of people got really mad about us talking in front of the big board, which has been dormant for a year.
I was going to say, there hasn't been anything on it.
We joked about putting a name on it. We kind of didn't. Never did. We never put a name on it.
Well, we'll get to calls here. Like, the thing that just, I think, really, one of the many takeaways you could have from yesterday is the GM feels right now that he is justified in his actions because they were one of the top teams in the league in scoring, and that they think that that's just going to be repeated. And that to me is where my fundamental disagreement is it's not that it can't happen, but you heard him say it yesterday. If you listen to that whole conversation, he believes they're going to be just as good at not turning the ball over.
Yep.
That is a part of their blueprint. That is a part of their formula to being one of the best offenses in the NFL. And I believe they will still be one of the best, if not still the best. But being as good as they were last year is going to be extremely difficult, not by anything of their own actions, just on luck, even.
Right. They could have bad luck this time around where more fumbles go the wrong way.
But he sounds like he thinks they're going to be just as good at not turning the ball over.
Right. Again. Well, the other thing I would say about it is, you know, he's bullish on the offense and how, you know, we were number one in scoring, number two in scoring, number one if you include the playoffs. Like, he had a number of stats. Like, we scored more points than the Super Bowl champions. Like, congratulations on some point. But anyway, I don't know. When I hear that, I think, that's right. You've got an amazing quarterback. And you drafted him. It's not like you walked into this. You drafted him. You picked him where you picked him. And you shined him up real nice with the help of the coaching staff. And you've got yourself this living, breathing cheat code.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Bean is feeling like he doesn't get the credit he deserves for building a team that had an offense like that. I think he gets plenty of credit. He definitely has those that question the Kincaid pick, the Coleman pick, the receiver approach. But beyond that, the offensive line's great. He does have, here's one other thing that could be on his mind, and I'll get to calls right after this. He does have an upcoming battle with James Cook. If it's not a full-on battle yet, he might have one. And
right, it could be right
it,
now.
It could be an ongoing battle. It could get bigger. It could get nasty. And he might pound the table and say, I'm not paying a running back. That's one more thing about yesterday. The question that I said I wanted to ask during the segment with Sal that maybe he heard and got upset about, that is just a normal question to a GM. I want to ask him, but I ran out of time and things got spicy yesterday. Would you pay a second running back? These are just conceptual questions you ask a general manager after a draft. Do you believe in drafting a running back second overall? Sometimes you ask a question you know the answer to or have an opinion on because you want to have the GM himself say the words, which he did. He said, no, I don't undervalue the position. Like, all right, good. We've got that. So here we are, thinking back to when Howard asked Lindy if your team is tough enough. That was right before they fought Lucic. Lindy said, yeah.
I mean, that feels appropriate at the time to ask that question.
Right.
Then, yeah.
Sometimes you ask a coach if you think you're
going to... Like after the Miller-Lucic?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been the first question.
Sometimes you have to ask a coach, do you think your job is in jeopardy? Do you think you're going to get fired? Sometimes you have to ask that. Same with the GM. Sometimes there are questions, and this one to me was...
This one's new, though, in that we didn't get to the questions.
That's true. We ultimately did ask it, but the question
we got there, the question eventually
was one of the top three storylines out of the draft. We'll get some phone calls. Ricky Unicel starts us today as we start, and we'll look back on this draft and read some more about these players, these prospects. But we'll open up today some phone calls. Good morning, Ricky.
Morning, guys. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Thanks, Ricky.
I just wanted to, I'll make it quick. I just want to say I loved our GM for since he's been our GM because of what he's done. The way he went off yesterday, I was at work because I made it to work by then. It left a bad taste in my mouth. I really appreciate what you guys do. I've been listening to you guys for years. While you guys have been on the air, I've had more GMs before him, and I might have GMs after him. So I thank you for what you guys do, and thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Ricky.
I mean, it doesn't have to be this Bean versus us thing, by the
way.
You don't have to take sides. Like, everyone wants them to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
This year.
That's right.
And
I appreciate the thoughts, Ricky. Like, to me,
yeah.
Let's make it about whether it's Bean or if it's – I thought this as you're talking about, like, what's on his mind. If it's about Rory McIlroy driving away fast because he lost the Open, or if it's about – Diggs getting mad at Allen during a playoff game. On the most basic level, I love when the guys that are running my show care.
Yeah.
And if he cares, which I think he does, of course, I think that it's good. And if he's mad at me and other Bills fans that think that they've neglected a position, then that's just fine. We can sit here and get on Kevin Adams for neglecting goaltender. And if he yells at us about it, all right, well, he's defending himself. But it doesn't mean we don't have the right to talk about it, the fact that it's there. So for Bean to be fiery, I said this yesterday after the segment. I said, he can come in and do that anytime he wants. He can come yell at us. We're big boys. We can handle it. I, of course, took exception to the fantasy football point because I think he's attempting to belittle any fan that thinks that as not a real fan and not understanding real football, saying you have to build a full team as if we don't know that. I mean, we talk about the team 20 hours a week. We are not forgetting about Josh Palmer. We're not forgetting about Dalton Kincaid, two players he said he thinks we're forgetting about. So, we're pretty informed. We do this all the time.
Yes.
This is not a guy shows up at the Super Bowl and asks a question. This was the people that are more connected than anybody that he talks to, more connected than Pat McAfee on the Bills. Yeah. So whatever. It is what it is. Robert in Halifax. Hey, Robert.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Jeremy. I want to say about yesterday, I have 2 points. One is a serious one about what was talked about yesterday, and the second point is for Joe and his lasagna. But to the first point, I thought Brandon Bean showed... Let me say, not his best side of himself, and I thought when he used the B word, I thought he was unprofessional. I thought the way he approached the conversation to start with did not come in the proper spirit. He's a guest on the show. He represents the Buffalo Bills, and I don't think he represented the Bills in the most favorable light yesterday. You guys were asking legitimate questions. You weren't questioning him on a personal level, but on a professional level, and you were questioning his job and the way he did his job, which is fine, which is good, which is what I think your job is to do. And sometimes you have to ask some questions that can be a bit more, as Jeremy said, spicy. I think you're saying that very nicely. I think you asked legitimate questions, and I think he took it and made it spicy. And secondly, to Joe, I wanted to know what's the secret ingredient in the lasagna. I use a bechamel sauce. I will, if you guys can keep me on so I can listen, because I'm calling from Halifax. Used to live in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Love listening to you guys. Great show. Take care, boys.
Thanks, Robert. Do you have a special lasagna recipe?
No, because what's funny is, like, lasagna is maybe the thing I order the least, like, at an Italian restaurant.
You don't have a homemade lasagna you go to?
Not really. I'm not really that big a fan of lasagna.
Whoa.
I'm not going to lie. Sorry, Robert. I mean, the one you're talking about maybe sounds good. Like, I would always order something else. Chicken parm, which I know isn't even like real Italian.
Doesn't like
it's American Italian, but
Bean's going to call back in and say, "All right, now this is too far.
One straw.
This is too much, guys."
I didn't like it. It's just not. It's not my go to. It's not my favorite.
Rich in Lakeview before the break. Hey, Rich. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, first of all, I call often. I love what you guys do, but what happened yesterday was good radio, guys. I mean. It's one of the reasons you're on YouTube. There's no way you did it purposely, but as of last night, you guys had 33,000 hits, which is about 20 times more in the infancy of putting this on there. There's no way you did it, but fans, we're insatiable, right? You need to do your job. And Beans in the 54th market. I mean, listen, you don't know. He could have probably had the kids. Something happened on the bus on the way in, and he took it, you know, with the kids. He took it out on you, but it was great radio. And I think fans, media, and the teams are in collusion when things like this happen because we are insatiable. We give a crap. I mean, it's better than radio-free Sabres that we get during every broadcast. I feel bad for Duffer and Marty that they have to smile and grin and when everybody sees what they're seeing. So in a couple weeks, you guys are going to be all hugging up at the charity golf match and fist bumping and doing it. You know that's going to happen, but we got engagement, and it shows that we care. I mean, it's like you look, I look at the farming thing. I heard it 40 years ago. I mean, we have the show piece with Josh Allen, and we're still milking the cow by hand instead of bringing in technology and that. So it was just a question asked. Yep. I mean, Buffalo media were small, but I think you do a great guy. And, like, listen, make sure you get a nice selfie and hug up when you guys in June at the golf thing. And, Joe, and it's, we're going to be kumbayaing, all three of us fans, you guys, and being great radio. Keep it up.
Thanks, Rich. It does drive home one point, and that is that, you know, how many times did Bills fans yell at each other during the drought? Nah, million? It was always a fight. We're always fighting about how they could get better.
About everything.
And now, the only times we really yell at each other, and I like to say that sometimes, a joke like, oh, here we go, now we're going to yell at each other about things. Last year, the Worthy trade was this. For me, it was less about the players and more about, oh, no, this is a thing we're all going to get mad at each other about because we're going to talk about this. And Ken Dorsey is one, and the Josh Allen draft is another, and 13 seconds. We kind of go between the draft and the playoffs thinking like, well, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of times where we are arguing about a thing and split. So that's what the draft highlights. It highlights your team taking a direction. And Bean did say something yesterday that I want to get to, and it's more of a McDermott conversation, but, you know, just pulling a thing out of his commentary. I did this with his end of season presser about Allen. And he said something yesterday about McDermott that I want to get to. But Bills fans, it's been a nice road these last 5-6 years. And that's not lost on anybody. Yesterday, as soon as I left, I went and picked up an order at BJ's. And two people, I'm just out of the building for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And two people recognized me and said something about the segment. First guy says, Brandon Bean's looking for you in the back. Which I thought was funny. And then the next guy walks by and says, appreciate good football. I'm like, thanks, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Like if that's your message, you're missing a lot of what this is.
As you get to a certain point on the board, you're going, all right, how does this guy help? If there was a guy when we picked at the first round that we're like, yes, this guy's dynamic, he's going to fit here, we would have turned it in. In the second round, we would have done it. We went up and got TJ. Like, we weren't dodging receiver. We were going in, hey, we had the guys stacked where it was. I didn't think it was the deepest class. I'll say that. But, yeah, if it would have worked out, I would have gladly done it. But I'm trying to make sure we got the best team, not the best receiving core.
Well, that sounds more from this morning with Brandon Bean like you're used to. If there was a guy, we would draft him. The problem is you're choosing. You're drafting someone else, right? Like, I don't know. I think what we got earlier in the conversation was just not the priority you guys have been, quote, bitching about it being for years. And then sort of, you know, toned down. Well, I mean, we would have. Nah, I don't know. I think you're saying both things at once now. You're trying to build the best team, which is completely defensible. You thought defense was a much bigger need.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would say the same. I think most people would say the same. Leave it at that. You were going to draft Luther Burden if you had pick 56 or whatever pick you would have needed to have him. He went early. Pick someone else for this. You were going to do that. Actually, if the guy was there, I don't believe you. I just don't. I don't believe you. I think for years it's been like this, and it was predicted to be like this, and it was like this.
Yeah.
Which was they were going to draft defense, just defend it.
Yeah, it's. I think it's pretty easily defensible.
Me too.
You know, that doesn't mean that we, you know, we have to agree with it, but they did it, and so you know, here we are. I wonder if all of this is just, you know, there's probably a sense, I shouldn't phrase it that way. It would make sense to me if both guys, McDermott and Bean, are starting to feel like, you know, they know what the real world is here. Like, guys don't have these jobs for life. And they have been close, and they have been hitting their head on basically the same ceiling time over time over time. And yes, you can support, keep knocking on the door, doing things right, building your team. One of these years, it'll fall right. Okay, like, I'm here for that, and I largely believe that. I don't think they can't win with these people in charge. Like, they're not forbidden from winning with these people in charge. And look, they've been close without prioritizing receiver. All I'm saying is maybe consider prioritizing it a little bit more. you might get a different result, you know? I know the knee-jerk after the Super Bowl, the Bills lose to the Chiefs again by three, in a playoff game, and it's, I got to stop them. 9 yards a game the year, 9 yards a play the year before. This year, 30 points. The Chiefs never scored 30 points. I got to fix my defense. And then the Eagles go out and just strangle the life out of the Chiefs 2 weeks later, like, all right, it can be done. I have to do that. Yeah, or you could just try to find your way to 4 more points some way, somehow, and not have your season end 2 years in a row with your offense having a chance to make the winning play and failing. Like, that's there too. So, you know, I think to have the whole idea of getting stronger on that side invalidated and reduced to, oh, it's not fantasy football, there's only one ball and all. I don't know, man. It's just that I don't agree with it. I really don't think it's right. I just think it's a bad take.
Let's go to your calls. 803-0550. John is next. Hi, John. First.
Hey, guys. So the wide receiver debate that was, you know, talked about this morning aside, I just think the way that Brandon Bean acted earlier was uncalled for. And, you know, the comments were kind of unbecoming of an NFL GM. You know, he sounded like Bob and Sheik Dawaga than an NFL GM. And the people who are currently cheering on Bean for his comments are probably some of the same people who are cheering on Ken Dorsey when he went crazy in the coach's box.
I thought of that.
And
I thought of that.
And you know, kind of years later, we kind of all right, that was a major red flag. You know, I know Bean wouldn't talk to Pat McAfee like that, and I know that Jeremy and Joe wouldn't talk that way to Bean. But Bean thinks it's okay to treat others like that. So, you know, after that whole thing, I kind of just came away from it being like, well, maybe Bean's a jerk. You know, that's kind of what I came away with.
I would not say that. I don't know him very well, but he snapped. Because these guys always make their best effort to not, like, be raw in those moments, and he was raw. And you don't have to think that that's bad. Two people who are very close can get after each other like that, and it sounds way worse. But, you know, in this kind of setting, this is why it's such a big story, is that it was unusual. I also thought of Dorsey, because I'm getting some of the same preface. I think I had a moment last week when I said this, and I think today is maybe proof of it. Today is the most sort of go Bills day of the year, where we run up against the fans that we, in a way that we don't during the season. When they win, everybody is impressed and happy. When they lose, everybody is down and critical. The draft is when, like, I think I speak for everybody here, you do your best job to try to predict it and analyze it honestly, and a whole bunch of casuals come out, which is great. I mean, it's great for the radio station. Whole bunch of casuals come out and tell you, you know, just like, how do you even know yet? If you guys are so smart, why don't you work in the league? It's the same things every year. And it's really only like right now when that sort of peaks.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into the season and it'll not sound like that. And, you know, it'll again be sort of like everybody's kind of on the same page. Not always, but the day after the draft, you with Watkins, you know, like just, I hate this trade. And the same 10,000 people, if I don't flatter ourselves, who are like, why don't you work in the league then, are out there today saying the same thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is a day. I mean, and look, this, I don't know how inside baseball I need to get here, but like I think we all understand doing this job. There are going to be people out there that think we know it all. Like, I think some people in the audience think that we handle ourselves in such a way that, like, we're, you know, we know everything. And, like, I definitely do not think that. I definitely think most of the people I know in this business don't think that. But when you have a day like today, you get that portion of the fan base is like they're on Bean's side. Oh, you know, of course, you shut up the radio guy, the loudmouth radio guy who's always right or whatever. However, that person who doesn't really, you know, listens to the station but doesn't like us or one of us or whatever, like Bean did a thing today because he punched that guy right in the mouth. Like, okay, I mean, good for you. I'm fine with that. I don't mind that you feel that way about me or us or my friends. Doesn't bother me. It's just the way it goes. But it's so funny how those camps just line up because, of course, yeah, today is a day. And I totally get it. I'm even to an extent susceptible of it. You wouldn't believe some of the criticism I get for liking stuff they do too much. But like, I'm over here going, I kind of like the first four picks. I kind of like what they did there. I'm happy. I didn't get what I wanted, but I get what they were doing here. But it's always so, you know, you're over here, and no, you're over here. And, like, I don't know, it never really works that way.
It's protecting the shield, right? It's protecting your team because there are fans who think, like, that we could disrupt it. And I don't know. I hardly ever think that. I think there's almost never proof of that. But any sort of anxiety that the radio station or the media has any role in, you know, what are fans going to do? 9 out of 10 fans are going to be like, shut up. Leave them alone. Not all. Maybe it's too high a number. Poor Cheektowaga. It's always Cheektowaga, by the way. You know, why can't it be Grand Island once in a while where it's like the anonymous guy who calls in and, you know, gets hot? Let's go to Chris next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was watching the draft and I'm thinking all the wide receivers that were taken in the draft early, I believe, or close to all of them, were Keon Coleman. 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", high vertical leap, great ball control skills. And about the same speed. So we already got one of those.
This year? You mean this year?
Yeah, we already have him on the team here. He's already got a year under his belt.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. I mean, Coleman being here and their first pick last year are reasons or are one reason to think that this was not going to be any different this year, right? I mean, it's not surprising at all that the Bills did not pick a wide receiver on the first 2 days. They did pick one at the end of day three. It's not surprising at all. So, different reasons for that. There was not a faller. I couldn't at 30 sit there on ship chasing and be like, right. They have to draft Ibuka. They couldn't draft Ibuka. They couldn't draft Golden. They couldn't draft McMillan. And Burden was more controversial in that spot. By the time they made the trade for 41, he was gone anyway. He went, 39 or something like that. Here's Madeline next. Hi, Madeline.
Hey, guys. I listen to the morning show every morning, and so I feel like a lot of the people, like you kind of said earlier, who are kind of on Bean's side are people who don't listen to their show like him, because if you did, you would know that, I mean, those two guys were talking about defensive players in the first couple rounds for the past month. Even this morning, they were going over, like, oh, all these picks were great. And, of course, we're going to always talk about wide receivers because, obviously, our core is not ideal for what you want to get to the Super Bowl. And again, like, I think the hypocrisy of him even saying, like, yeah, I haven't listened to the show. And then, you know, I don't want to necessarily prioritize a wide receiver, but then I'm going to work out Elijah Moore. And then I'm going to insult these guys by saying, oh, it's fantasy football and all this stuff. It's, I think it's really frustrating as a fan because you're in this loop. I mean, we just did it again where we lost to the Chiefs again. And that game was a real culmination of all of the personnel mistakes that I think have happened. I mean, you have no separators up to that point in that game that could catch the ball from Allen. And so I think it's frustrating for sure as people who are super in-depth into the radio and really are interested in all the aspects and everything to kind of hear your GM say things like that. So,
well said. I mean, an executive or a coach or a star player telling the media that they don't pay attention to the media is like as old as time. That's what they say. Many times it's going to be true. Many times it's just a lie. What the Bills have, what they do or can do, is they have people who will like somebody doing their job in PR. If it somehow Brandon Bean didn't know what if they thought there was an agenda or something, but you know agreed to do the interview, the person in that job would every time if they were good at it tell Bean or whoever, listen, this is what. Just so you know, like this is what happens in there. This is what these guys think, right? They would have somebody, and that's essentially the same thing. So I don't listen to you guys. Allen just never listens to anything, but he knows. Remember the year they played the Dolphins, and somebody on the Dolphins said something, and he scored a touchdown, and he did a pose to make fun of it. But then he's always saying, "Well, I didn't know about it.
Right?
I don't know who we're playing next week." You know, like these guys try really hard to give off the idea that they're oblivious to any sort of possibility of criticism or anything like that. It's not usually true. And even if they didn't, somebody in the organization where they have, you know, somebody for everything is going to brief them. That's just like how that would work.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are you talking to yourself or is this from some Godfather movie I've never seen? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Have you seen The Godfather, yeah, I hope?
Once or twice.
It's Mike Shope.
I did not see it until my 30s, but then I became obsessed with it.
And the Bulldog.
I've never been obsessed with it, so I don't know it well enough to have picked up on that.
I did not care for The Godfather.
What?
Did not care for The Godfather.
I don't think it's a movie where you're just like, oh, it's good. Godfather, yeah, I saw that. It was good. It was good. The Godfather, I saw that. I liked it. Like that's just sort of, you didn't really see it.
I'm not in the way of it being an all-time great. I never got obsessed with it.
Explain yourself. What didn't you like about it?
It insists upon itself.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
We are still on the Bills GM, his visit yesterday morning, and less about the moment and the conversation, more about the outcome of the draft, the revelation, if you will, from the conversation that, yeah, we were going to draft wide receiver because our offense is good without any new wide receivers. Where is it going to put them? These are not quotes, but these are definitely, I think, accurate representations of his feelings and his actions.
Yeah, they in my opinion, captured the spirit of the thing. Yeah, yeah.
They work.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about, and we'll look for your calls here momentarily, is this the last, should it be the last kick at it for these guys, Bean and McDermott? And I'll just say again, every year when they've lost in the playoffs, they've won a playoff game every year since 20 and then lost. I don't have to tell you because you know this. We would get the occasional time to make a change phone calls. And, you know, I have friends who feel that way. You might feel that way. You might have friends who feel that way. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said every time, I just doubt in a year, if they have the same year, I'm going to feel this way. Like, I think it would seem crazy if they made changes given their success.
I have absolutely always felt that way. Like, there's no reason to stop. Keep going.
Well, it's just that this past year put that more to the test for me, because they got to the championship game. Again, they played a Chiefs team that they had beaten. And in this case, despite Kansas City's struggles on offense all year, they had a fine, kind of easy game against the Bills. So I'm trying to do a thing here, again, in this draft, where I'm drafting for defensive talent to make the difference in that spot. I mean, the division is bad. They'll almost definitely make the playoffs. And, you know, it has to work now. The combination of that football game, and because I can't complain about the offense in that game, and this draft has me at the point. I was already there before the draft, but maybe I'd assumed the draft would be like this. Because we have for most of the last few months. Where now you can't have that again. You can't have another season where you lose in the playoffs because you can't stop Patrick Mahomes for what would be the fifth time in 6 years. Like that's when I'm ready for the check. If they lose some other way, that every season tells a different story, then I don't know. Like maybe there will be reasons to feel differently. But if I have, for the first time in all these years, if I have that, I'm saying if I have that season again, I think I'm done.
Yeah. So you mean, like, hypothetically, just for instance, that maybe the Bills have a tough game on defense all game long and they're behind, but they get a key fourth quarter stop and get the ball back for the offense, and the offense moves the ball some, but then gets stuck. Maybe there's even a bad call mixed in, but then they turn it over on downs and they lose. That still would be the same, because that's what happened last year. That's what happened the year before. They got the ball back with a chance to win the game both times. Like I got to push back somewhat on the defense keeps costing them these games. Like I know what the stats are. I know what the points per game are. And I don't know. Maybe this is the wrong way to do it. But I feel like there's been too much of a swing over to here. And the Eagles, I think, are largely responsible for it because they murdered the Chiefs. And now, like, I should be able to do that. I play them all the time. What did they do that I can't do? Well, I don't need to beat them by 20 or 24 or whatever the final score of that game was. I just need to beat them. And I still, part of my motivation, in addition to Bean and really the Bills as an organization, their own choices, trading for Cooper, talking like they did about Coleman and Kincaid and how much work they need to do to get to where they can really feel like they will be important, impactful players for them, and the way the season ended. I mean, 2 years in a row, I've got the chance to beat you if I can get in the end zone. And, you know, if 13 seconds happens again after that, well, then I've got definitely the defensive problem. And I'm not saying, I can see the defense needs improvement. I would take every time Josh Allen with the ball at the two-minute warning in your territory where a touchdown wins the game, especially against that team. Like if I'm playing the Jets, then no, I don't need it to. I don't expect it to be that tight. But the Chiefs are going to get theirs on you, probably. Even in a down year, we just saw them do it. But, man, I've got a dude, and I've got a chance to win the game. And, I don't know, man, in the NFL, if the roles are reversed, I know this points to McDermott's defense. I'm expecting Mahomes to come through one of those times, if not both. And my offense has not been able to do it. That is not to say, like, I have a Josh Allen problem. But I think I have an offense problem. And that's why I'm always looking for another guy out there that could be someone who potentially becomes the difference in a situation like that.
We can argue about this anytime we want. People are waiting to talk. I mean, the Chiefs averaged 22 points a game last year for whatever it's worth. Maybe you want to assume that they would score anyway because they're the Chiefs, but they didn't against, a lot of other opponents, including Philadelphia, where it wasn't even close to good. Here's Chris with us. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to preface by saying, obviously, Brandon and Sean have done a great job changing the fortunes of this organization around. But it's, almost entirely based off one person, and that's Josh Allen. So let's not kid ourselves that one, if not both, would have been gone by now if Josh Allen wasn't their quarterback. And I think the most telling thing about that conversation with Jeremy the other day was Jeremy purposely left out Dalton Kincaid when they were talking about receivers. And Brandon immediately put Dalton Kincaid and said that you don't think about the Chiefs without Kelce or the 49ers without Kittle and the Lions without LaPorta. And it's pure delusion to have him in the same sentence, let alone the same paragraph or even page or even book. Dalton Kincaid is a certified bust at the moment. And listen, he could have gone up and got one of those four receivers, but at least he tried to address an issue. But to put them in the same sentence, like, does he not realize this is a 3-win football team without Josh Allen at quarterback and he doesn't have a job? And Bulldog, you brought this up yesterday about, you know, do you spend 6 or 7 picks on defense, or do you just try and find one guy to score 4 more points? And it's like, what are we doing here? And the caller, a few callers ago, talked about, we've had, and he's right, we had Trey White, all pro corner. We had the best safety tandem in the NFL. We had 2 good linebackers in Edmonds and Mullins. So we've tried this before. I think he just thinks that he's addressed this issue, and he's addressed the receiver position, and he thinks that it's in, that how dare someone question that he might be wrong about it.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Chris.
Yeah,
I agree with most of that. And I don't think, I wouldn't call Kincaid a certified bust, but he's definitely not on the other guy's level.
No. I don't like anything. The caller didn't exactly do this, but anything that ventures into dinging them for selecting Josh Allen, like just resorting to it, it's just luck. That they made the choice. Like, if you want to ding them for Kyer Elam, then I think you have to credit them for Josh Allen. That's only fair. They made the choice. Yes, there's luck involved all over the place. We all know that. But ultimately, they sat and decided this was the guy. And it was not a universally accepted great idea at all. You know, being leading off with you guys, the general blanket, you guys all hated that. You all wanted Josh Rosen. Okay, sure. I mean, I know that's the way the story gets written, but it wasn't just the guys on the radio. Like, you had a field house full of people, fans, your fans, that chose to go spend draft night with you and your organization that booed when you made that pick. So it wasn't just like that charge was being led by us. I mean, we were a part of it, sure, but like that existed. That's it. You got it right, full marks. I will never ding you for that. But
or leave it out.
Yeah, or leave it out. But it was not, you know, like the guys on the radio were the only people going, hey, I don't know, this doesn't sound like a great idea. A lot of people felt that. A lot of analysts who spend their lives analyzing football thought it was a bad idea. They didn't. Good for them. I credit you for that, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Great pick. But to bring that up, like, we had the market cornered on being critical of that choice is nuts.
It's unfair. Bob is next. Hi, Bob.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Say, the thing that at that conversation yesterday, Bean aggravated me in that it took me back to the Kansas City game, and which I just shut the book on when it was over. But what aggravated me about that game was, yes, the defense, but Benford got hurt, so you knew they were going to give up the points. But I went back yesterday and I looked at Next Gen stats, and in that championship game, Josh Allen completed 34 passes. 20 of those passes were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Attempted 34 passes, yes.
Eight of those 20 were behind the line of scrimmage. And through the game, I'm thinking, our receivers can't get open. Our receivers, there's something wrong with our wide receivers. They can't get open. And, you know, Kansas City figured out that little screen pass to our wide receivers. So I guess what bothered me, he was denying the fact that, and by the way, the wide receiver with best stats in that game is no longer on the team. So
Collins.
how he can just say, well, I'm fine with the wide receiver room, when who's in that wide receiver room that's going to make us look any better against the Chiefs? Because that's what it boils down to. Not how many points you score against the Jets twice, or the Dolphins twice, or the Patriots twice. It's how are you going to beat Andy Reid, who, by the way, sees your defensive player go out and is going to take full advantage of it. You got to figure out a way to beat him, and you got the dude, like you say, that you're handcuffing by not having anybody that can stretch the field.
Yeah, Bob, you know, you're right. It was everything came to be short as that game played out. And some of that is their limitations. I feel like they knew them, the way they called plays in the second half of that game. They knew them. They did score 29. There was no fluke there. There was one takeaway in that game, and their offense was good. When it came down to it, the one play, and that's how it goes, right? That's the rivalry. The one play where it's a jailbreak, and suddenly your season is over, just like that. John is next. Hi, John.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
wanted to talk about the whole Bean thing. You guys are going on and on and on about this whole wide receiver. The fans are getting on the radio talking about it. And what we sound like right now, we sound like a really rich girl, sweet 16 birthday, and she wanted a Ferrari, but she got a Porsche. And she's not happy. Like, look, I'm 29 years old. I grew up my whole life without the Bills being in the playoffs. And now we are a contender year in, year out. And we want to complain because at the draft we didn't draft a fancy wide receiver. Like, it's absolutely crazy to me. How you beat elite quarterbacks is with an interior pass rush. Our interior pass rush sucks. Ed Oliver, not good enough. Daquan Jones, old, not good enough. Jordan Phillips, old, not good enough. That's how you win. Interior pass rush in an elite quarterback's face, you force them to roll out, and then you have long, lanky ends that contain them. That's how you win championships. That's how the Eagles won their championships. Would you rather be the Bengals who go and they draft their superstar QB and then take Chase and Higgins, had to pay them, defense sucks, and then they miss the playoffs? Like, all these takes are wild. Even with without Josh Allen on our team last year, we're winning the AFC East. All he did was threw short passes. Any quarterback could have threw that bubble screen, and we would have won 10 games. What Bean is building here is 10 years of greatness and then little tweaks in between that'll get us a Super Bowl. These are the little tweaks on top of the core players we have. Like, if we want to direct this energy somewhere, go direct it at the Sabres. They're the ones that deserve it. Because if you guys really think that these are the last set of picks Brandon Bean's going to make, we have a hockey team that hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years, and it hasn't fired the GM that hasn't gotten better in 5 years. So this whole bashing Brandon Bean for a wide receiver thing needs to end immediately. Immediately. We sound like spoiled brats. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right, John. It's a great job. That's a great job. Here's Zach next. Hi, Zach.
I love that. It's hard to follow up.
It's good.
What I loved about yesterday was I just felt like both guys were right. I mean, they needed to get better at defense, but my main criticism of Bean was when Jeremy was trying to phrase it in a way where, like, you know, Brandon, would you not agree that, like, you might not prioritize wide receiver like some other teams might, which he got defensive again, and he was kind of dancing around it. The truth is he doesn't value it. I mean, he didn't – going back, I mean, they haven't drafted anybody other than Coleman, and they gave up a first-round pick for Diggs, which is now 5 years ago. I mean, it's okay. He can admit that he doesn't prioritize it. He's a Khalil Shakir miss away from having, like, nothing. I mean, hopefully Coleman steps up. Hopefully this Palmer's a good mid-tier free agent. But, I mean, we were just 3 years ago away from, you know, pulling John Brown and Cole Beasley out of retirement because he didn't do enough that year. Everybody forgets about that. And I agree with that last caller. You want to take that energy, throw it at Kevin Adams. Bean's not the guy that deserves it. I don't actively criticize him. And you know what I hate about a day like yesterday is if there's people, they were waiting for that day to like pound the table, you know, the other way around. It's kind of, I'm a season ticket holder. It's kind of like the idiots that around me just say things blatantly during a game without any factual basis to back it up. You know, it just frustrates me. I think a lot of the people that are critical out of yesterday, especially critical of Jeremy, are people who don't listen to the show and understand and or listen to the first 2 hours where everybody was like, yes, defense, this is what they needed to do. It doesn't excuse them for not having, you know, gotten enough at receiver. Last thing I'll say, my greatest fear is they don't get the Super Bowl and 2 or 3 years does go by and all of a sudden we look back and say, did we do enough? You know, some teams do that. Tom Brady, they were able to not do enough around him. Aaron Rodgers didn't get the first round receivers. But Peyton Manning did. Some of these guys got these guys and needed it. Time will tell if Josh does. I think Brandon and McDermott will get into a year or two into the new stadium. I don't think it's like a one-year thing, you know, into next year if they don't win the Super Bowl. But I do think they will get those couple of years. Thanks.
Thank you. Man, another great job. I hadn't thought about the stadium. I'm not predicting their demise here either.
Right.
I'm just saying there's a specific season that they've just had. If they were to repeat it after all this investment, that I think I would feel like it's time's up. But I hadn't thought about the stadium. Also, the Ferrari is better than the Porsche.
Yes, I think that's right.
It's
opinion, but I think that's right.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Pete. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to dovetail off of that last guy's point. So he talked about, and I think it kind of relates to one of the arguments Bean was raising in the context of like asset allocation. You only have so much money to spend. So the last caller talked about different quarterbacks not having enough at wideout. And what I would say to that is I think of a quarterback who played for the Colts who did not have enough at offensive line.
And he quit.
Sustained injuries, and his career was over. I mean, he's a prodigy, Andrew Luck, and he got beat up, and his career was cut short. So the first question that I have for you guys, if you had to pick between a top five offensive line and a top five wide receiver core, which would you choose with Josh Allen?
I'd pick receivers easily, but, I mean, how bad is my line then? And if I have a good line, like last year they had a good line, not amazing, good, especially good in how they were durable. They were fortunate that nobody ever came off the field for them up front, and that's always a big point when it comes to the line, continuity. They really benefited from that. But, no, I'd want the receivers because right now I don't know who they have on the team that next year in that spot I'd want the ball to go to. Because last year, it ended up being Kincaid. After an Amari Cooper play went nowhere, that didn't work out. Kincaid hasn't really worked out. It's really, a caller earlier said it, he's Shakir away from just what? And I don't need to say it, but I'm just thinking how during the pre-draft, I was often reminded that they had Curtis Samuel on the roster. Because I would try to think about what they were on offense, and I'd forget about Samuel. And now it's starting to sound like he's important. And just cross your fingers.
Right. There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah. I'm sort of processing the great points that have been made here. So I'm sort of I don't feel like I've said much in the last 10 minutes or so, but I've really enjoyed the people that have brought what they've brought. So thank you for that.
Hey, by the way, it's one of these situations where people kind of run at us. It has nothing to do with whether you or I disagree with the take. If it's good, it's good. This guy two calls ago, I mean, that was just a great job. It had nothing to do. I didn't really agree with the end point.
Yeah, I don't feel like a spoiled brat.
It was a great job.
But I get it. I get it.
Super.